let's welcome on our guest line on this auspicious occasion, the news editor for townhall.com and a Fox News contributor, Katie Pavlich. Katie, first of all, our deepest sympathies to all of you who worked closely with Mary Catherine Hamm, and the just the sorrow that I feel over this loss over her husband is profound, and I know you guys are feeling it too.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate that. We have Mary Catherine in our thoughts and prayers, and we've just all come together as a Salem family and, you know, supporting her in every way that we can.
Well, it's kind of nice, gratifying to see the education fund for the kids not unexpectedly growing and growing, and a lot of people are going to make sure those kids are at least are financially taken care of with their educational needs, something that I'm sure Jake would be very, very proud of. So, again, just our deepest sympathies to the entire Town Hall and Hot Air and Salem Communications family. Katie, let's talk about this 14-year-old. I've been calling him Ahmed the Clockmaker. I mean, you and I think we've got it pretty good. We've got nice gigs here. You know, I've got the radio show. You have Town Hall. You write. You appear. You think you're doing okay. If you would have only thought to bring a briefcase to work, to the office, with some circuit boards and wires and things blinking and beeping and ticking, you know, there may have been no stop to your meteoric rise. This kid's being invited to go to all 50 states. President Obama wants to talk to him. He tweeted yesterday, "I'm going to Cali." That must mean Ellen DeGeneres. I guarantee you he's going to wind up on Ellen DeGeneres, maybe Wendy Williams. He could make the rounds. Mm-hmm. But the serious side of this is that the mantra, see something, say something, which is one of the only practical defenses we have against terrorism, is being challenged by this. And In my view, I think that's deliberate. I think that is a specific, deliberate, this whole story has been an attempt to undermine, see something, say something. Would you agree?
Well, it's been amazing to watch the reaction to 14-year-old Ahmed Mohammed being handcuffed at his Irving, Texas high school after he brought something to school that looked like a bomb. And there's a huge disconnect when it comes to telling American citizens what they're supposed to do to prevent lone wolf terrorism in particular, and what when they do those things, they're accused of being bigots. So, for example, in this case, when a teacher was concerned because this kid brought something to school that, sure, was a science project, as we've all said, you know, they made a mistake, I guess, by pointing it out, but it's better to, and this is what they tell you in our See Something, Say Something program that, by the way, is funded by millions of your tax dollars.
I mean, this is a national campaign. This isn't just a phrase that somebody came up with and we just sort of repeat. It's a national campaign that we've paid for that's supposed to raise public awareness of the indicators of terrorism and terrorism-related crime.
Well, and I detail this in my column in The Hill today, and the campaign, there's a separate website or a page on the Homeland Security website detailing the specifics of this campaign. And one of their main things they encourage people to do is to say something, and hopefully it's nothing. Well, in this case, where a teacher brought this kid to the principal's office and called the police just in case, that person is now being vilified as a racist, as a Islamophobe. CARE is all over them. CARE is investigating. And now this is going to discourage people from actually reporting things that they think are suspicious.
And which is, again, Katie, pardon me for interrupting, but again, that's the point, though, right? That's the design. I think there's a willful intent on the part of the histrionics on the left to do just that, to stop this.
Dangerous. And right. I talk about in my piece, I said, you know, what if two young Muslim males, Zokar and Tamerlan Zurnayev, brought a set of pressure cookers and backpacks to a marathon? They did, and it was a devastating result. I talk about how Richard Reed tried to light his shoe on fire on an airplane. What if people just sat around and didn't say something about that? Same goes for the underwear bomber. I mean, these are objects that you would think are normal, everyday things, just like the clock was. And people said something about it and saved lives. And in this case, no, it wasn't a bomb. But if it had been, we would be sitting around asking why no one said anything about it and why teachers allowed him to go from class to class with this object without objecting to it and looking into it to make sure that it was safe.
Katie Pavlich is the news editor for townhall.com and a Fox News contributor. Of course, it seems to me that even though there's been this desperate attempt to inject racism, bigotry, Islamophobia into this story, there's been a considerable pushback, hasn't there? I mean, this one has not gone gently into the good night.
It hasn't, but I'm alarmed at the number of people who retweeted President Obama's tweet. I mean, he got 400,000 retweets when he invited Ahmed to the White House to discuss science, right? And it's just people lose perspective so quickly about why there's a See Something, Say Something campaign that's been in place since 2002 after 9/11. And if the federal government, which wants to be in every single aspect of our lives, really doesn't mean it when they say See Something, Say Something, then maybe we should shut the program down and get rid of it, because we're wasting money on it if it's not going to be effective.
And
if they're going to tell people to say something and they turn right around and punish people and call them bigots for doing so, we need to change something.
Right. And then when that change occurs, if that change occurs, we both know people are going to get killed. Then we know
right.
that bombs are going to go off and people are going to have things happen. I mean, these Islamists are not stupid. They're watching these stories closely. Don't think they're not looking at the case of Ahmed the clockmaker in Irving, and they're not saying, let's get another kid in a school who can say it's a clock and it's a bomb, and how dare you question my scientific, you know, acumen. This is going to just build off of this. And that's mm-hmm. what's so really, really dreadful about this entire story. Listen, the kid needs an apology, but so should the little boy who chewed the Pop-Tart into the shape mm-hmm. of a gun. Somebody ought to apologize
right.
for him. Obama's not inviting him to the White House. Zuckerberg isn't inviting him.
There was a case, I believe in Oregon, I may have the state wrong, where there were teenagers playing with squirt guns on private property in their front yard before heading to the bus stop, mm-hmm. and the school suspended them. Okay? I mean,
right.
if we're going to talk about the double standard here, that is where the double standard lies. And again, it goes back to, are we going to now sit back again because we're afraid of being accused of racism and bigotry and put that aside, put public safety and national security aside for that? And one thing that they don't acknowledge is, look, you know, 14-year-olds in the United States are programmed a lot differently than 14-year-olds that live in Syria and Iraq. And I think a lot of Americans don't get that, you
right.
know?
Right.
But when you have these terrorist organizations training children from a young age to kill people, it's something that you should keep in mind when you're looking for things to report as suspicious behavior, which people are going to stop doing because they're vilified for doing so, even though they're told by the government to do so.
Now, let's take it a step further. The same group you write about, CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, is now calling on Dr. Ben Carson to drop out of the presidential race. He expressed an uncomfortableness with a Muslim being elected president, and he sort of doubled down on the original comments he made. Here's cut number one when he appeared on Fox News.
Someone has a Muslim background, and they're willing to reject those tenets and to accept the way of life that we have, and clearly will swear to place our Constitution above their religion, then of course they will be considered infidels and heretics, but at least I would then be quite willing to support them.
Katie Pavlich, that seems like a pretty reasonable answer to me.
Yeah, and, you know, again, here we are with the argument that you can't talk about, you know, Sharia law, which is what Ben Carson was referring to, and its incompatibility with the U.S. Constitution. And, you know, it's interesting how people on the left are so outraged over Ben Carson's comments when people on the left claim to be the same people who are all about equality and equal rights and human rights. Well, if that was the case, they would also be questioning Sharia law in the Muslim religion and the idea that in most cases they believe Sharia law should be put above every other form of government and every other law, despite what might be in any type of constitution. So it's a legitimate question to ask. It's a legitimate thing to question. And yet here we are with the people who claim to be champions of human rights and equality falling down on the job once again.
Well, and one of the things that the media completely ignores are some startling numbers that get underreported. And when they are reported, they're done in a way to put down the Republican Party. But the fact is, according to a CNN ORC poll that just came out, 29% of Americans believe that Barack Obama himself is a Muslim. 43% of Republicans believe that Barack Obama is a Muslim. Now, that's a high percentage. That's almost half of Republicans think this guy, our president, is a Muslim. And if so, he's obviously a secret Muslim. You know, I'm not going to get into the business of attacking half the Republican Party base for feeling the way they feel. I don't know. Maybe they feel the way because he once said it when he told ABC's George Stephanopoulos, you know, about his Muslim faith. And then Stephanopoulos had to correct him and say, you mean your Christian faith? I mean, there's a lot of anecdotal stuff that leads people to say, I'm not really sure this guy is who he says he is. But of course, if you even express that, you're condemned as a bigot and a hate monger and an Islamophobe, even though he's not supposed to be Islamic.
Well, there's only the only reason why questions about Barack Obama's past, whether it's politically or in terms of his religion, just as a whole, that people have questions is because Barack Obama hasn't been transparent about his past.
Right.
And he's lied about his past on a lot of different issues. So, of course, people are going to be skeptical. And it's not because they're bigots, because Barack Obama has been vague. And by the way, it wasn't those those bigoted Republicans who brought up the idea that he might not be a Christian. That was Hillary Clinton during the 2008 presidential campaign.
You mean the one who said, as far as I know, he's a Christian? You mean that Hillary?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, same Hillary who brought up maybe the idea that he wasn't born in this country. I mean, the left forgets that it was them. When they often accuse Republicans of what they're doing, of doing something, it's because they've done it themselves.
Yeah.
It's Hillary Clinton, who again is running for president this time, who accused Barack Obama of maybe not being a Christian, playing into the idea that he might be a Muslim, and also the idea that he might not have been born in this country and therefore ineligible to be president. That was Hillary, not
right.
Republicans.
And again, this goes back to this whole Muslim issue that we go up against, whether it's with a kid who makes a clock or Ben Carson on Obama. You know, many Americans, it's safe to say, are at least cynical of the transparency of Muslims. Americans understand that part of the jihadist way is to deceive the infidel. And we certainly know that those 19 hijackers on September 11th didn't pretend to be hijackers when they got on that plane. They assimilated into their communities. They were pretending to be people they were not. A Muslim extremist pretending to be somebody he's not is that homegrown terrorist is our biggest nightmare. It has to be, Katie, and we have to have steps in place to protect America from them.
Right. Well, and we do. And unfortunately, in the new era of people forgetting about 9/11 and being numb, apparently, to these lone wolf attacks we've had here at home, everything we put in place, people just tend to ignore. And if you follow the rules and you do what the Department of Homeland Security tells you to do, which is to report things that are suspicious, even if it's nothing, they actually say, quote, hopefully it's nothing, but report it anyway.
Right.
You can take a look at it. Unless, of course, the 14-year-old Muslim student who brings a suitcase that looks like a bomb to school and it turns out to be a clock.
Yeah, right. And then we're going to come after you, and then we're going to shame you, and then we're going to accuse you of being an Islamophobe. So keep that in mind as you consider the next time you see a package on the street corner. Before you call 911. Katie, last comment, last question before you go about the presidential race right now. Scott Walker dropping out yesterday, calling on other Republicans in sort of a thinly veiled shot against Donald Trump to be more positive than the front runner. How do you see this playing out in the next 6 months or so?
You know, I'm shocked that Walker dropped out so early. I really am. And I was actually shocked that Rick Perry was the first to go as well. And obviously,
especially with Rick Perry with Rick Perry on the eve of the debate where he could have shined. Who knew what kind of performance he could have had?
Right. And Scott Walker had the largest really campaign in terms of infrastructure. And that's why it crumbled so quickly, because when you have a large campaign, it's hard to keep up with the money. But I'm not sure what the next 6 months are going to look like. It's been an interesting ride. So far, it's been steady in terms of who's been leading in the polls. It's the, you know, it's Ben Carson, Carly Fiorina, and Donald Trump. And we'll see if one of these politician types can break through. I'm not sure Jeb Bush can do it. So we'll see.
I want to envision the late night tweeting parties that Donald Trump has. He did it again last night, midnight, 1 a.m. He's tweeting about Fox. He's tweeting about O'Reilly. And I just wonder, is there anybody with him in the room? He's in his, you know, his Trump Tower mega apartment. He's walking around. I know he's in silk pajamas. He has to be wearing silk pajamas.
Yes, he's got the classiest of pajamas.
Right, just like red velvet slippers. You know, he's probably got a martini or glass of wine, and he's saying, I'm going to go after O'Reilly tonight. And nobody in the House says, Mr. Trump. Hold on now, Mr. Is that, are you sure? But the truth is, you know, people see that and they say, you know, I don't think Jeb Bush should be doing something like that. We're loving this. We're loving watching a presidential candidate act very uncandidate-like.
Yeah. And we'll see how this bodes for the country moving down the road. You know, I'm not so sure. It's not about being politically correct to me. It's about having the maturity and respect for the Oval Office, which I do not think we have.
I hear you. Well, you may be writing a column on what color the neon lights, the Trump letters will be on the side of the White House someday. You never know, because you know they got to put a neon sign up. Katie Pavlich, yep. Keep fighting the good fight. I always appreciate your great work, and I'm grateful you could join us for a few minutes here on the show.
Thanks so much.